The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Reish Aleph Din Hama'abed Atzma L'das V'shar Rosh Hashemes. This simon discusses the obligation to sit shiva, or if there is an obligation to sit shiva on a person who took their own life, as well as a person who doesn't keep the Torah mitzvahs properly. The Kitzur says the following in Sif Aleph: Hama'abed Atzma L'das, one who commits suicide, who rasha she'ein l'mali melu. It's a terrible rishus. It's a terrible evil thing. She'ne'amar v'ach. Estimchem l'nafshesechem edroish, that I will seek your blood. And from here we learn that one is not even allowed to take their own life. U'bashvil yachid nivra aylam, and even for a single person, the world was created. V'chalam ha'abed nefesh achas mi'Yisrael, and one who destroys one life, one Jewish life, ma'abed aylam malay, he destroyed a whole world. And because the severity of taking a life is so severe, so a person who took his own life, therefore, they do not do any of the normal things of respect done for one that passed away. They do not rent their garments. And they do not say shiva. And they do not eulogize. Have a kavan I say, but they bury the person, the body. Matam I say, they do the tahara process. Mabishan I say tachrichim, and they put on the burial shrouds. Kol shel davar, the general rule is kol shumik mishum kvoid hachayim oisenly. Anything that's done for the respect of the living, mean to say, it's disrespectful to living people if we don't bury a dead person, because everyone feels that disrespect because we're all human. So that we do. But something for the respect of the person that passed away, like the Kriya and the Shiva, that we don't do. Then in parentheses he adds, Ul Inyan Amiris Kaddish, and as far as Kaddish is concerned, look in the Chassam Sefer. This is what the Kitzur says. Now, before we go deeper into this whole subject, which is a very important subject, because unfortunately, throughout history, we look in all the different tshuvas where different Kedalim wrote their responses to different real-life situations. You know, there were people who were in very difficult situations and they took their own life, whether it was because they were being pursued, whether it was because they were extremely in debt, for all sorts of reasons. And generally speaking, the Paiskim looked to rule leniently on them. And even though the simple reading of the halacha is very strict, but they look to rule leniently on them. Now, before we discuss that point, I'd like to just mention a very interesting idea that's brought in the Ber HaGoyla. The Ber HaGoyla is actually a very early pirish on the Shulchan Aruch, and it brings the sources from many different halachas, and very rarely gives Musar or other even comments. But at the end of Chayshin Mishpat, it talks about this idea of not taking one's life. And he says a beautiful thing. He says that the reason why it's considered so severe is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a gift to be able to live and be able to do Havayis Hashem. And the fact that a person takes their own life, they show that they don't care about it, about that gift, that's why it's such a terrible thing. That's a very beautiful and interesting explanation that the Ber HaGoyla gives at the end of Chayshin Mishpat. Now, there is a little bit of a question, what is the source for taking one's own life to be so severe? There is some sort of chazal that seems to say, even to the point that one doesn't have a portion of Olam Haba. Different Achrayim, the Ma'ari Asad, question what exactly the source is. But we know definitely that halacha and Yiddishkeit and Judaism looks down very much upon the whole notion of a person taking their own life. Now, with having said that, we do find both limitations in this halacha, and as I mentioned, in real life situations, the general approach of Paiskim is definitely to try to rule leniently. There may even be situations in certain very extenuating circumstances, like during the Crusades, or where a person is concerned that they're going to be tortured, that it may even be permitted to take one's life. This is, again, a discussion, and I'd like to go through some of these in Yanim as we go through the Kitzur. Now, before we do that, I'd first like to learn with you the second sif. The second sif says the following. Mustama, even though the Kitzur just said how severe it is to take one's own life, generally speaking, we don't assume that. We don't assume a person to be doing the wrong thing. If we found a person strangled, or hanging, perhaps someone else did it, we don't assume that he did it. So the Kitzur is basically only giving us one way out, and basically saying that it has to be conclusive that the person himself did it. But if we're not 100% sure, 150% sure that the person himself did it, then we assume that they didn't do it. Now, that is all fine when it's not conclusive that the person did it. But, you found the person, they wrote a note, or they were seen doing whatever it was. What about all that? Now, before we get to the question that the kid is addressing, I'd like to go back to the question that I mentioned about the times of the Crusades. There's a tshuva written by the Maram, who lived in that very difficult time of the Crusades. And the question was, if they were afraid that the Crusades were going to come, or they're on their way, and they knew that they were coming, and they were going to kill everybody, and torture them. And the question was, could they take their own lives, or could they take the lives of children, in order to prevent that pain, from that terrible torture? And the Maram Paskin, the Pesach of the Maram, was able permitted to do so, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that the Kitzur brings, that you're not allowed to shed blood, that Pasuk in Bereishis, the Medrash says that Ach is a language of exclusion, that Yochel Kishol, I might think that one who takes their life like King Shaul, that the story with Shaul was that he was in the battlefield, and he was fighting the Plishtim. He was wounded, and he was afraid that the Plishtim were going to torture him. And he basically, and he told the Nar, he told his the one who would hold his weapons for him to kill him, and that's what ended up happening. And the Medrash understands that why was Shaul allowed to have himself be killed? So the reason was because he was going to spare himself the torture of the Plishtim torturing him. This is the opinion of the Maram. Now, if you look here in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says exactly this. The Shulchan Aruch says that if a person takes their life in order to be spared such terrible pain, that the halacha is that they do not have a status of ma'abed atzmadas, and one says shiva for them. This is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Now, there is a discussion in the Rishonim about this, and some learn and understand the story of Shaul, and perhaps also the tshuva of the Maram in a little bit of a different light. They understand that Shaul HaMelech had an overwhelming reason to make sure that he was not alive when they came. And the reason was because they might torture him, and he might give out secrets that could affect all the Jewish people. So it just wasn't to save himself from pain, but it was for the security of the Jewish people. In the same way, those that understood that the heter, the leniency that they used at the time of the Crusades, was because they were afraid that the children would go into the hands of the Crusaders, and they would be converted against their will. So therefore, out of that concern, they were worried that is why, so for a ruchni, for a spiritual concern, that's why they were able to do it, but just to spare oneself pain, one would not be allowed to do it. So this is a little bit of the discussion, and it's something obviously we should never know from, but it is a very important historic discussion that's brought in our siman in Shulchan Aruch. Now, moving on from here, the question becomes not whether one's allowed to, but if one did it, do they have the status of ma'abed atzmadas in these situations? Now, The Sefer Shalom Eishiv, the Shalom Eishiv was a very, very important Paisik in the 1800s. He was a tremendous guy, tremendous genius. He wrote many, many tshuvas, many, many responsa. And he quotes from a Sefer B'Samim Reish that said, takes a very, very lenient position on who has the status of a Ma'abed Atzma Das, who has a severe status mentioned here in the Kitzur. And the B'Samim Reish says that only one who takes their own life for philosophical reasons is considered a Ma'abed Atzma Das, but one who takes it for because of depression or any difficult situation, he's not condoning it, he's not saying it's right that they could do it, but if they did it, they do not have the severe status of a Ma'abed Atzma Das. The Shalom Eishiv and others accept the opinion of the B'Samim Reish. However, the Chassam Sofer and others very much question the authenticity of the B'Samim Reish. This is an interesting subject in and of itself. Who was the B'Samim Reish? It was officially said it was supposed to be from the Rush. Many question it. Many feel it was a forgery. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer very strongly dismisses the opinion of the B'Samim Reish. And the Chassam Sofer is of the opinion that one who does it in these types of situations has the status of Ma'abed Atzma Das and would have all these severe things. Many other Paiskim, later Paiskim, the Marsham, Shlomo Kluger, they were asked questions about a person who takes their life because they were in deep debt and these types of situations, and they for the most part, rule leniently, and one of the reasons is based on the fact that there is a discussion about this idea of the B'Samim Reish. Some Paiskim, even contemporary Paiskim, or Vadi Yosef in Yabi Amr, takes a more stringent stand. Well, this is one aspect of the discussion. But there's really another aspect of the discussion, which really two aspects. Another aspect is what the Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch discusses extensively in the Sefer Beis Ephraim. It's a very classical Tshuva on this matter. And what they take this idea of doubt very far. And as the Kitzur tells us, if there's a doubt, maybe the person didn't take their own life, maybe it was someone else, then we can assume that it wasn't him, even though it's a little bit far-fetched. They go further. They say, no, we know for sure the person took their own life. But there was a delay between the time that they put themselves into that irreversible situation to the time they actually died. And during that time, it is possible that they had remorse for what they did. If they had remorse and they died at the time of remorse, then they're a tzaddik, right? So we assume the person to be doing the correct thing, and even though we know they did something to themselves, but there was a chance that they could have had remorse. So therefore, that's enough. So for example, the person who drowned themselves, and as they were going up and down in the water, they were still conscious enough to perhaps have second thoughts about what they did. So says all these Paiskim, the Beis Ephraim included, that doubt is enough. So now, the Beis Ephraim, I believe, combines the idea of the B'Samim Reish together with this doubt and rules leniently. And this is why it's a very accepted custom among Rabbanim that basically, in these situations, the custom is to sit Shiva. Now, besides for the fact, the Paiskim say another point, which is also very interesting, which is that, as the Kitzur mentioned, We don't do things for such a person out of respect for the person because we feel the actions were so terrible. But what about for the living people? We do things that for their respect. So if sitting Shiva to them is for their own respect, meaning to say, if people, if they're not going to sit Shiva, and therefore it's going to be known that what happened and everything else, and it's going to be a disgrace to them, then they're allowed to sit Shiva. Now, it's not that they're prohibited from sitting Shiva, they're just not obligated to sit Shiva. So therefore, it's for their own respect, they want to sit Shiva, and they're allowed to sit Shiva. So these are a number of different reasons why the Ravon practices in these situations to sit Shiva, either because, since one does it out of pain, that itself was a reason that he does not have a status of a Ma'abed Atzma Das, there could have been remorse, and also if it's for the respect of the family, then those are all legitimate reasons why one could still sit Shiva. The Kitzur continues in Siv Gimel. Katan Ma'abedes Atzmai Chashuv Kishlo Das. Now, if it's a minor, then we say that the mind of a child is not 100%, so therefore they don't have the same responsibility for their actions. So if a child were to take take their own life, then they don't have the status of a Abed Atzmo Das. And even an adult, even Nira, Shasa Adavar, if he did it, Machmas Ruach Ra, Oishigoyen. So there's another concept that we really didn't discuss before, which is if the person did it because perhaps they were overcome by a mental illness, right? Ruach Ra, an evil spirit, Oishigoyen, or some sort of mental incapacity, Chedayma Havi Shleil Das. It's not, it's Shleil Das. And this is a major point that obviously many of the people who take their own lives do so because they have mental illness. If he did it because, this is what we mentioned before, if he did it because he was in a very difficult situation, because he was afraid of being tortured, like we mentioned, King Saul, Shalom Melech, Shem Yisrael, they were afraid, Shem Yasu by Plishtim Kirat Sinai, maybe the Plishtim would do what they want with him, Harhuka Shar Meis, that he's like a regular person that passes away, and again, he's not addressing whether or not he should or should not do it, but the bottom line is that they are accorded the regular respect. Ve'ein Ma'inim Imen or Shem Davar, we don't hold back anything from them. So this concludes the discussion about a person who takes their own life. Now, the next couple sifrim are going to discuss the status of a person who does not act according to the Torah and how that affects sitting shiva for them. Kalaparshim midak yatzibur. People who remove themselves from the way of the community. V'heim anashim, people, shaparku ala hamitzvahs me'al tzavaram, and they totally threw off the yoke of mitzvahs from their neck. V'ein nechlalam b'chal yisrael b'asiyasan, but, and they're not consider themselves to be part of the Jewish people in their actions. Helahem kibnei chayrim la'atzman, but they completely disregard the community, do whatever they please. V'chein ha'mumrim, those who deny the Torah. V'hamaisrim, and those who give people over to the authorities. Now what we're talking about over here is, and this is a much larger discussion about what's considered a meiser, but this was most specifically talking in the times when you had a government that were basically, it was a very weak government, a very loose form of government, I should say, and there was some sort of king or dictator who was in charge, but his powers, at least from a halachic standpoint, were limited because he wasn't a true monarch in the sense that he wasn't accepted fully. And basically, if people were to go and to tattle on each other, then they would find other excuses, and the person could end up getting killed for something that was totally, they did not deserve or did not do at all. And this was a problem that they had throughout the Middle Ages in Europe, that basically you had people in the Dark Ages, that basically the Jewish people were living as peasants on other people's property, and those people had tremendous ability to do whatever they wanted with them, and no one really cared. So if someone would give someone else over to them, they weren't exactly going with any sense of law and justice and order. They were doing whatever they wanted, and therefore, if someone who would give Yidden over, they would tell them that they're going against their laws. And if you look at many of those laws, they were all clearly laws that were all about persecuting Jewish people. So then it would snowball into the person could end up being killed. So because it's considered to be very, very severe that a person would give them over, Vabikarsim, and one who they deny the Chachamim, they deny the Torah, those individuals, Kol Elu Ein Einanim Ve'emis Abim Aleim, one does not have the status of an Einan or a mourner on them, Elachayim Ushar Krevim Leiv Shem Levanim, but their relatives, their brothers and relatives were white, Musatvim Levanim, and put on white like garments, V'aichlim V'shaisim U'smeichim, and they eat and drink and are happy, Al Sha'avdu Sainim Shalmakim, because the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'aleim HaKos of Aymer, and on them the verse says, Halayim Yisanech Hashem Esna, those that hate you, I will also dislike, V'aymer V'avoy Rasham Rino, and when evil people are destroyed, it brings happiness. Now, obviously, we're talking here about people that were did very wrong things, and also people that had a very strong sense of bechira, free will. And this is something that we need to explore a little bit further. There's a very, very important Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, which discusses the status of a Zaken Mamre. Zaken Mamre was an individual who was a great Talmud Chacham, and we know that Allah is that once the Sanhedrin overrules Talmud Chacham's opinion, then we have he has the obligation not to continue to rule according to his own opinion, but to follow the opinion of the majority. And this Talmud Chacham disregarded that. So the Allah is that he is Mechuyav Misa, he deserves a death penalty, and the reason is not because he's such a terrible person, he's a great Talmud Chacham, but the point is that his actions are really causing that Klal Yisrael can't continue to function because he's seeding machlokes, he's seeding argument within the Jewish people, and he's making it that the Torah doesn't have, is not uniform, and therefore the Torah says that that's what's supposed to happen with him. Now, in this discussion, the Rambam says that don't make a mistake and think that this Zaken Mamre is someone who disregards the Torah entirely. And in his discussion, the Rambam talks about who's considered to be an apikaris, who's considered to be someone who throws out the Torah, and who is not. And the Rambam's discussion basically focuses around the story of Tzadok and Baisis. These individuals, they had their students, they were students of a certain Tanoim, and they basically started the movement where they would only follow the literal understanding of the Torah. And this is obviously throwing off the yoke of the Chachamim, and this is real apikorsis, really throwing off the Torah, the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, the whole oral Torah. And what the Rambam says in the third paragraph of Hilchos Mamrim, I believe, is that the first generation, those who followed Tzadok and Baisis, who went against the Chachamim, those individuals have a status of Rishayim, have a status of evil people, like we're mentioning over here. But the second and third generation that grew up with it, they do not have that status, because to them, this is how they grew up. And not only that, but even if, according to the Rambam, it could be other Rishayim disagree, but at least according to the Rambam, even if they were to see Jewish people later and know that they're Jewish, still it wouldn't help. Still, if they don't do the right thing, we don't give them the full severe status. Why? Because since they grew up that way, it's very difficult for one to change, and perhaps it's very difficult for them to accept. But the point we see in the Rambam is, and this is something that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, in his tshuva that he wrote when he was a rav in Russia, and you had, you know, the older generation was still keeping Torah mitzvahs, and the younger generation was part of the Communist Party, and he goes into this Rambam in depth. And basically the idea is that if a person is following, is swept away in the favor of someone like Tzadok and Baisis, who are going against the accepted Torah, the accepted Chachamim, so the person has a very much bechira, free will, to decide what to do. They have all the Chachamim on one hand, and they have these individuals who are paving their own way on the other hand. So they have a very equal choice to decide what they want to do. Therefore, if they don't do the right thing, and they're held very much accountable for that, because it's obviously coming from their own overconfidence and haughtiness, and therefore it's considered to be a very severe thing. Whereas the next generation, where they grew up, and their parents, or this was taught to them, because their parents had already gone astray, and they don't have that status. Now, because of this concept, it's very much accepted today that most non-observant people, non-from people, that because they themselves didn't learn in yeshiva for the most part, and they didn't have that choice, and they would grew up not keeping Torah mitzvahs, so therefore they are considered what, like a tinuk shenishba, like that child that was taken away when they were very young and grew up among non-Jews, or like the case of the child of the person who the parent was swept away, and they don't have this severe status. So again, this is a very important thing, halach lamaisa, you know, people who have family members that are not from, but they're not observant. But the point is, if those people never had a chance to really learn and really understand, and even though they know that they're Jewish, they know there's such a thing as Torah, to some extent, but they still have the status of a tinuk shenishba, and they don't have this very severe status that the Kitzur is quoting here that the Rambam and others describe. Now let's continue with Sif Hei. Im Nerak. Now, one of these people that have the severe status were killed, meaning to say they didn't die a natural death, Ben Medina de Mechusa, whether the government killed them for some reason, Ben Medina Acher, or something, got into a car crash or something, Afilo Hoya Momer, even if they were had this severe status, Ms. Abu Malov, we still sit Shiva on them, the Kivan, Shinarak Bide Adam, because they died in a early death through physical means, so they didn't die naturally, have like a kapara, they have a kapara, so it's an interesting thing how these individuals, even though they have such a severe status, but if they were to die tragically, then one would still sit Shiva on them. Sivvav. Mishayo Ragel Lasis Aveira. If a person does an Aveira all the time, Afilo Raklati Avan, even if it's just for out of pleasure, Umeis, and he passes away, Imloi Hisvada Kaida Maisai, if he didn't do Vidui before his death, so therefore he didn't show remorse, Aimis Ablo Love, one does not sit Shiva on them, and again, as we spoke before, this obviously doesn't apply to a person who'd never received the proper chinuch and the proper upbringing. Well, im hisvada, but even such a person, if they do say that they are remorseful, this abim olav, we do sit shiva on them. Afilu hayagan of hayagazan, even if they were someone that steals. Sif zayin. Katan ben shana, a child that's just a year old, ashasim or 2 years, shehemirin aviv. That became a convert to a different religion with the parent Aim Imai Umais and died, Amos Abum Olav, we don't sit Shiva on them. Now the reason here seems to be that even though, as I mentioned to you, a Tinuk Shenishba, a child that's taken away and is raised among non Jews, we do sit Shiva on them. However, it seems that if they die within the first year or two of their life, that then we don't sit Shiva. And the reason is we find in different places this concept that a very young child is still a considered part of the parent. So therefore, they still have that status of the parent. Once they get a little bit older, so we look at them as their own person, then we understand that they were in extenuating circumstances and they never really were exposed to Torah mitzvahs at all, and therefore they have a much more lenient status. So this concludes this Siman Reish Aleph, which again discussed the halachas of a person who unfortunately took their own life, or who did not keep Torah and mitzvahs properly.